Good morning. The reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then continuing with verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Continuing on with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joy. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When I pray thy will be done, that's pretty self-evident what I'm asking for. When I pray, give me my daily bread, it's pretty apparent I'm asking God for provision. When I pray, forgive me my sins, that's pretty self-evident. I know I've done wrong, I ask for your forgiveness. But what do we mean when we say, lead us not into temptation? I get the second half of that verse, but deliver us from evil, because if I get caught in evil, I would reach out to God to deliver me from it. But what am I asking when I say, lead us not into temptation? I want to take just a few moments and do a little word study with you. In the Greek, there's a word, and it's spelled P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. That's how it transliterates out of the Greek. It's pronounced perosmos. Now, I say that having no idea how you pronounce it, okay? But if you know Greek, you can correct me. And if you don't know Greek, I'll just take it that I know how to say it, and that's the authoritative pronunciation of it. But it's P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. That word means two things. It's one word, but it has two meanings. It means, in the first place, the enticement to sin, which is a moral enticement. Something is dangled before me that is sinful, that I know is wrong, and that's temptation. That's one meaning of the word. But it also can mean a test of faith and still be translated as temptation. So you have to kind of look at the context to understand what is meant by that word and how it's translated in a particular context. Let me give you these examples. Let's go back through our scriptures and just review them briefly. James chapter 1 says, consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And see the word trials in verse 2? That's a translation of that word. Because in this context, it's not talking about enticement to sin. It's talking about adversity, persecution, suffering, things that have come upon us, the calamities that we have to manage, that we have to deal with. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's a test of faith. See, it's clearly called that. If you move to those verses 12 through 15 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. The word trial is a translation of that Greek word, pyrosmos. Because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, and that's a translation of that word right there. The same word now is translated tempted, because it's moving us to an understanding that what we're talking about here is the enticement to sin. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Five times, I think, that word is used. Every time it's translated as tempt or tempted, because it's talking about sin. It's not talking about a test of faith. It's talking about an enticement to sin. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So James is making it very clear that God tempts no one to sin. God, maybe we can have a conversation about whether and how God tests our faith through adversity, but God tempts no one to sin. That's Satan's business. God doesn't want us to sin. God would not tempt us to sin. So whatever else lead us not into temptation means, it does not imply that there's the possibility that God might be dangling sin out there in front of us just to see how we're going to handle it. Because James is making clear, but it's the same word. You see, it's the same word that was translated trial just a few verses ago. Now it's translated temptation. Okay, then look at this passage from 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So that word temptation is again a translation of that same word in the Greek. Only the interesting thing now here is translated temptation, but it's talking more about trial. Because in context, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And the context of this passage of Scripture is the Israelites in the wilderness and how all the adversity they faced and all the hardships they faced. And in that spirit, Paul is saying, you know, you're going to be tempted, i.e. tested in your faith. And nothing is so great that God will not provide a way out and in that process teach you endurance to do it. So it's a little bit complicated in trying to understand. And when you come back to the phrase of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, and you ask the question, which side of temptation is Jesus talking about? I think the simple answer, the obvious answer to me is, he's probably talking about both. Because it can mean enticement to sin. It can mean a test of faith that comes upon you through some situation that is in your life. Now here's where it gets interesting to me. It gets interesting to me because I observe that temptation to sin and testing of faith are universal to the human experience. Jesus was tempted to sin. Our scripture tells us that. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. What made Jesus different from us is not that he was not tempted by anything to do wrong. It's that he was tempted the same as we all are, but he did not sin. That's what made him different, is that he did not sin. We're tempted and we do sin. So I think it can mean that. I think it can also mean lead us not into times of trial, as one version of the New Testament translates it. So it can mean both and refer to enticement to sin, and it can refer to temptation. What was going on in the wilderness when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit? You know those stories that are kind of the basis of the whole Lenten journey of 40 days. At the beginning of his ministry, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Was that an enticement to sin, or was that a test of his faith? It kind of almost comes across to me as both. I mean, you're going to, if you give in to Satan, that's a sin, but at the same time, your faith and your self-identity are being tested. So here's my question. If temptation to sin is universal and trials are universal for all people, what are we praying for? Why are we even praying this? What do we mean when we say, lead us not into temptation? Here's what I think it means. Here's the spirit in which I pray that. When I say lead me not into temptation, I'm referring to both moral wrongdoing and spiritual faith and challenges to my faith. I'm praying that because I know my weakness. I know that I'm weaker than stronger. And that's really a good thing because that makes me depend upon the Lord more. I'm not the kind of person that says, bring it on. You know, just give me whatever, Lord. Give me a disease. Give me a lost job. Give me lost income. Burn my house down. Make me like the modern day Job. I can handle it. I can handle it better than Job can. I'm not the kind of person that says, put all kinds of moral evil in front of me because I know that I can turn my back and I know that I will never do the wrong thing. I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, don't put that stuff in front of me. Don't put that stuff on me because I know myself probably too well. And I know that I may not be made of the right material to rise up to it. This is the coward's part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? It's lead me not into temptation. Steer me clear of trouble. Give me the easiest path. Ah, this is my chance to talk about Kentucky basketball. Okay, so you know I'm a Kentucky fan, and Kentucky is in the region where it's really a tough region. It started out tough because Kentucky played a team, and then if they won, they would have to play Arizona. And Arizona has this big guy that's first-round draft choice, and he's going to destroy Kentucky, and everybody's getting on the Arizona bandwagon. And even if they got past Arizona, then they would have to play Virginia. And you know how good Virginia is, number one in the nation. They've only lost two games all year. They have this suffocating defense. Nobody can beat them. And so, lo and behold, in the first round, Arizona loses their first-round game to... Who did they lose to? I've already forgotten. I know they lost. Buffalo. Oh, that's right. Buffalo beat them, so now we have to play Buffalo instead of the dreaded Arizona. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I want the easy path. And then what happens that night to Virginia? They lose to a team, I don't even know what the initials stand for, but we were so excited we ordered a t-shirt. You know, we're all online after the game going, give me one of those UMBC t-shirts, whatever that stands for. We know they're the Retrievers. So, yay, they made their path easier. University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Larry, that sounds like an authoritative answer, so I'll take that. And I think that's right. But in any case, I'm praying for Arizona to lose. I'm praying for Virginia to lose, and they did lose. So that path is made a little bit easier. Doesn't mean we'll get there, but I'm still trying to coax them back. Like we in 1998, Kentucky played the Final Four here in San Antonio, and the whole time I was just like, Lord, bring them to San Antonio. Bring them back here to me. And I'm praying the same prayer. Somebody said, are you buying tickets? I went, nope, that's too superstitious. That would jinx it if I bought tickets. But I'm just going to keep hoping that we advance, and maybe in a couple of weeks on Easter weekend of all times, Kentucky will be here playing in the Final Four. But we get praying for the easy way out, don't we? I mean, that's not selfish. That's just saying, if I see somebody, and I've seen people go through terrible suffering and terrible circumstances and conditions, and I don't think it's bad of us to think, Lord, please spare me that, because I don't know if I could handle that if I were in a similar situation. So I know my weakness. That's why I'm praying it. I'm asking God, when I say lead me not into temptation, to trial or sin, situations where sin is possible, steer me clear of trouble. Steer me clear of trouble. Just make my path such that I avoid the wrong places and the wrong situations. Take care of my health to minimize health problems. Can't eliminate the risk of health problems, but we can do some things to take care of your health. Help me be aware of moral situations. Steer me clear of trouble. And help me be prepared for the eventuality of both temptation to sin and adversity that comes into my life. Help me be prepared, because you don't get through this life without facing both at some point in time on multiple occasions. And we know that. But I'm just saying, lead me not into temptation is saying, I want to be aware. And toward that end, I want to be prepared as best I can, strong in my faith, to deal with whatever comes my way. So here's what being prepared to me is all about. It means nurturing your faith. It means doing the things that make your faith strong. And it's kind of like I said with the children, the best way to keep kids out of trouble is to keep them in good things, doing good things, and keep them occupied in good things. If my life is about faith and worship and prayer and building faith-based relationships with other people and keeping in the faith community, studying the Bible, if my life is about that day in and day out, then I'm headed away from sin day in and day out. It doesn't mean I'm immune from it. It doesn't mean it can't find its way into my life. But it means that if the enticement comes, I'm probably in a better place to deal with it than if I'm just kind of adrift. So nurturing my faith, keeping my faith strong, prepares me for adversity. I don't want to discover my faith in adversity. I want to bring it to bear in adversity. I want to go into adversity with faith and with the capacity to, in my heart, to believe that I can overcome this by the grace and help of God. So it's preparing me by nurturing my faith. It's helping me be aware of moral traps, like I mentioned, just be mindful of situations I best keep myself out of and stay out of. It makes me aware when things are coming. I've noticed, like in my own self, when I'm tired, when I get physically tired, I'm typically spiritually tired at the same time. And I become more vulnerable to things happening. But by being aware of that, I can be better prepared for it when it does come, if that makes sense. I'm willing to embrace adversity. I am a coward at heart, but if something comes up in my life that I have to deal with, by the grace of God, I believe I can deal with it through the strength of the faith that I already bring. I believe faith in adversity is just like character. You know, they say adversity doesn't prove character or build character. Adversity reveals character. It kind of reveals who you already are. And if I'm working intentionally day by day, excuse me, to strengthen my faith and my walk with God, and something comes out of the blue, an illness, a disease, I lose my job, you know, I lose my health. So much of this is built around loss, isn't it? So much of what we have to really deal with in life is built around loss. That was the essence of Job's adversity. Everything he had was taken away from him. This is not where you go to find faith. This is where you go to bring your faith to bear with whatever is going on and whatever you have to face in your life. So it's all of that. Lord, lead me not into temptation. I know my weakness, but I want to be prepared for when I'm put into those situations where I have a moral choice to make, where I have to bring my faith to bear against whatever has been brought into my life for whatever reason. Let us pray.